Good morning, everyone.
Over these past weeks, we have been thinking about what it means to stand strong, stand firm in a shaky world. My mind goes back 2003 when we had an internship couple here, Jonathan and Sarah Weber, and then about 2006 they were heading off to Belgium, and they have been standing firm. Even though the world is shaky, they've been standing firm, and it is a great privilege to be listening to them and sharing some time with them. As fast as the summer has gone for all of us, the few weeks that they've been in the States had to go by very, very fast for them. They were here at the start of this short 5-week trip, and then are here today. We'll be leaving Tuesday morning. You be praying for them as they make their way back. Sometimes we're tempted to pray just for their safety, but you know, we don't know what God might do and what conversations might be theirs along the way. So we pray they'd be sensitive for what God is going to do in and through their family. Jonathan, it is a privilege to have you here. Why don't you come and share something from the Word, and I know in the process we're going to learn a little bit about your family and what's transpired these times too.
Hey, good morning. It's good to see some of you again, and some of you for the first time. I'm going to do my best this morning to encourage you with a story of what God has been doing in our life, share with you a bit of how God has been at work, and trust that if I were to have a personal conversation with you, you could share your story of what God has been doing, how God has been at work, what He is doing to conform you to the image of His Son, and to give you an opportunity to have an impact in the lives of people around you. But as I start out this morning, I will introduce myself to those who don't know me. On the screen behind me is a picture of my family, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to have been married to my wife, Sarah, now for 24 years. And we are grateful for the family that He has given to us. Warren, our oldest, is 19, and he is finishing up his first year of university studies in Belgium. My second son, Daniel, is 14, going on 15, and he is heading into 10th grade in Belgium, where we live. And Andrew, as you see in this picture with a special hat on, that picture was just taken a month or so ago at his 6th grade graduation. This fall, he heads into 7th grade, and he's a little bit nervous about that transition because he's heading into the same high school where Warren attended and Daniel attends, so he's got some big shoes to fill as he moves into that new phase of his life. And Phoebe, our daughter, we are grateful for her. She's the only one remaining at the grade school where we've invested a lot of time over the years. But she's going into 5th grade this fall and desiring to be a light for Jesus Christ in that context where we have so much opportunity to serve. But that's our family. We have the opportunity to live and to serve in this country called Belgium, right across the Atlantic Ocean, right above France and below the Netherlands and across the English Channel from Great Britain. And we serve with a mission agency that's now called Via Nova. And we serve in the town of Sint-Truiden, which is in that small northern Dutch-speaking area of Belgium on the eastern side, not too far from the Netherlands and from Germany. But it's within that context where you say, how big is Belgium? Well, you want to get a perspective. I have it on the map there over top of Wisconsin. So, yeah, Belgium's pretty small, isn't it? There's about 12.5 million people that live there, and that's the place that we call home. And we are thankful for God having called us there. As Pastor Jack said, back in 2003, Warren was a newborn, and we moved from Ohio to here to Wisconsin Rapids to do a seminary internship with Pastor John and Pastor Steve and Pastor Jack, and those were wonderful memories that we have, then we cherish. And as a result of spending time here, we got to meet many of you. For those of you that weren't here in 2003, we'll probably have to acquaint ourselves. But for those that were here, man, thank you for investing in our lives. Thank you for making it possible for us to come here to learn much. And I think back to that period of time in 2004, we were doing a missions conference here, and Sarah and I were trying to determine what's the next step for us. And we believed that God was prompting us, pointing us to the country of Belgium. Why Belgium? Well, I was an exchange student there after high school and spent a year living in the very same town where we live now. And so it's amazing to see how God is at work. But I realize, you realize, I'm sure, as you've looked back and you see God directing you and placing you in a certain places during the course of your life, you realize that wasn't just by chance. That was by divine design. And so our hearts are full, grateful for the fact that in 2006, we had the opportunity to pack a container, get on a plane, go across the ocean, and make this little country there in Western Europe our home. And it truly is, has become our home. Being there for 16 years now, we realize, wow, three of our children were born there, and this is the place where we believe God has placed us. But we can't be there without your help, your support, your involvement in being a part of our story. And so we are grateful for everything you have done as a sending church to support us and to pray for us, to encourage us in this process. But in 2006, we moved to Belgium and we began serving with what was then known as the Belgian Evangelical Mission, the Belgische Evangelische Zending of the Mission Evangelique Belge, in French or in Dutch as it's called. But that was a mission agency that was established in 2019. And it was established in 2019, and in 2020, it celebrated its 100th year anniversary of being in Belgium as an agency that was striving to acquaint people with Jesus Christ and bring them into possibilities to hear the gospel, to respond to the gospel, and to gather together into communities of believers across the country of Belgium. And so God allowed that to, in 2019, the Belgian Evangelical Mission celebrated its 100th anniversary, and they went through an evaluation process, and they began to think, okay, are we successfully accomplishing our mission of starting new communities of believers who are passionate about serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And they came to the conclusion, we're doing that, but we could do better. And maybe it would help us in this process of doing better if we gave ourselves a new brand name that reflected who we are. And so what did they do back in 2019? But they came up with this idea of, let's call ourselves Via Nova, or New Way. It's a Latin name, which seemed logical because Belgium is a country split. As small as it is, as you saw on that slide, as small as that is, there are three national languages represented there across Belgium, Flemish or Dutch, French, and German. And so how can we unite these language groups? Well, let's look at our culture, and it's a very Latin culture for the most part in the southern part of Belgium. And so Latin is a language that's studied by many, many, many people in Belgium as a as a language of study because it impacts our linguistics. And so they said, let's choose a Latin name. And so Via Nova simply means new way. Is it a new way? Well, we're trying to do ministry and church planting a new way, but we're following the old way, which is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we gather ourselves together in communities of believers that function well under the authority of Jesus Christ as our head, and we strive to be light, salt in our communities, and we strive to be involved, integrated, and make a difference in the world. So that people whom God has called to himself to have a new name will be gathering together with us. And so Via Nova was established as a brand name for the Belgian Evangelical Mission in 1919. But as you think, or 2019, but as we think back to how the Belgian Evangelical Mission got started, we realize that in 1919, it was the conclusion of the First World War. And the First World War had ravaged the country of Belgium. And it had decimated large portions because of that trench warfare that took place in places like Flanders Fields, as you think back to maybe a poem that you would remember that you could associate with Belgium. But it was in that context that the Belgian Evangelical Mission was established by a man called Ralph Norton. And Ralph Norton and his wife were Americans, as a matter of fact. They were evangelists that were in London. And as they were serving in London at the outbreak of the First World War, they had been called there from the United States. They were serving there, and they came into contact with their first Belgians, because there were Belgians who, at the beginning of the war, were coming back with the British soldiers to recuperate, to heal from their wounds, to get some R&R. And they began to realize, hey, here are these people who don't speak English, but yet they seem to be people with a great spiritual need. And the Nortons, in their process of listening to God working in their lives, began to realize these are people who don't necessarily have God's word in their hands. And so one simple thing that they began to do was to get Bibles printed in French and Dutch, and they would begin to make those available to those soldiers and those Belgian nationals that were in London during that time. And so you think, man, we've had the Bible in English for how long? We've had access to the Bible in English. We have it in our homes. Our grandparents had it in their homes. Our great-grandparents had it in their homes. Regardless of what denomination you may be or what particular strand of Christian you would be, the Bible has been a significant part of our heritage. But in Belgium, it's totally different. We're looking at a very Catholic nation, and a very Catholic nation that's believed wholeheartedly that priests were the ones who were equipped to read and understand and proclaim truths out of the Bible. And for an average person, the Bible was not something that they read. The Bible was not something that they even studied or were acquainted with. They went to Mass, they listened, they heard, they saw pictures, stained glass pictures on the wall depicting biblical stories and whatnot, but yet personally acquainted with the text of Scripture in a language that they could read? No, it wasn't there. And so the Nortons discovered during the First World War and those years afterwards, for a people whose country has been destroyed by trench warfare, they could present God's word as a source of hope and encouragement and giving perspective to lives who had been destroyed, decimated by the ravages of the First World War. And so the Nortons were considered by some as apostles to the Belgian trenches. But not only to the literal trenches caused during the fighting of World War I, but truly the spiritual trenches of a country that didn't have access to God's Word. And so they did that. They started out this process, and the Belgian Evangelical Mission was what was formed. And we've had an opportunity since we've been in Belgium to be able to be involved with that mission agency. Back at the 2019, when they celebrated their 100th year anniversary, one of our missionary colleagues decided, I want to record this history. And so he wrote this book, Your Word is the Waarheid, and Your Word is the Truth, is the name of that. And I have a copy of it on the back table, so if you want to, after the service, begin to page through that and you see some pictures of what these evangelistic efforts, these church planting efforts, these church sustaining efforts have looked like through the years, then you can look in that book and see some of those pictures. It's in Dutch, sorry, so you can't read it, I would suppose. But I think back into many of those efforts that were put forth to bring God's word to the people of Belgium, and I realize many people have done put forth a huge amount of effort through these many years. But you realize it's spiritual warfare, because you make advances, you have losses, and it's a hard process. And Belgium, I guess, is a hard place to work and minister. And therefore, I'm so grateful for you investing in our lives, encouraging us, helping us to be there and to be faithful to what God has called us. And so, now with this the Belgian Evangelical Mission, for many years we were in a town called Zoutleeuw, and we were learning. We were beginning to experience what it truly is like to live in Belgium, to understand these people, and to be able to earn trust with them so that we can communicate the hope that we have. And not just the hope that we have for eternal life, but the hope that we have that we can live victorious lives right here, right now, that glorify God and give us a testimony to the people around us. And so we, in 2019, we had an opportunity to take a little bit of a break, a little bit of a sabbatical. We went to South Africa and observed God's beauty, and were just encouraged in our hearts by being able to take a step away and to think, reflect, enjoy Him for who He is, His creation. And we came back to Belgium, and in the fall of 2019, we're all excited about moving forward with this new project called Via Nova 3800 in the town of Sint-Truiden, and we were excited. And then, as you know, there was a wet blanket thrown over all of our efforts here, there, it doesn't matter, in COVID. And so it has taken a little bit of a longer time period for us to get started in building something new. But it has been good to see what God has been doing. But we covet your prayers. We covet your prayers because we know that is essential. That is essential for our family, for our kids, for our ministry there, and you are encouragement to us. If you're looking for a way to maybe think, how can I pray more effectively for the Webbers in Belgium? Well, I'll challenge you to think about a number on the clock that comes around every hour, and that's the number 38. 38 is just the zip code of Zoutleeuw or Sint-Truiden without the last two zeros. And so maybe that would be an effective way for you to think, oh, yeah, I see a 38 on the clock, I'll pray for the Webbers. On the other way around, I see a 38 on the clock, pretty good chance, I'll think of you. I'll think of some of our other supporters and be reminded to pray, to rejoice in what God is doing, but also to pray for what God is doing, because we're in this together. And we are grateful for the fact that as a church family, you've encouraged us, and we want to be of an encouragement to you by sharing that God is at work in our lives. Maybe a few years ago, you saw something like this. It's even hanging out on the wall of the church right now. 344. I've heard people say, Yeah, I have an alarm still set on my clock. At 3:44 it goes off and we pray for the Webbers. I don't know if I'm going to say set an alarm at every hour of the day. So at 1:38, 2:38, 3:38, 4:38, that's probably a little excessive. But hey, if you see 38 on the clock and you think it's time to pray for Belgium, time to pray for the Webbers, we would greatly appreciate that. And know that it is because God is at work in our lives. If you want some specific prayer requests, you could send me an email and say, hey, this is my name, this is my email address, and I can add you to our email update, and you can get some printed off in the box, but also directly to your email inbox. So we are grateful for the fact that God has taken us to Belgium. He's given us an opportunity to serve with the Belgian Evangelical Mission now for the past 16 years. We're able to be involved in seeing a new community of believers established in Sint-Truiden, a community of disciples, believers who are on the way. They're following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and desiring to have truly an impact on the community around them. And that's why we desire to see a thriving movement of integrated communities of disciples of Jesus Christ established in Sint-Truiden, the town where we live. That place, about 38,000, 40,000 people that are living there around the city. And as you look at the map, this map doesn't say a whole lot to you, I would suppose. It says a lot to me because it points me to where the people are. And the tan, orangish areas, that's where they grow fruit. That's where they grow apples, pears, cherries, corn, wheat. You name it. Those are all the agricultural areas. But around those blue areas, that's where the people live. That's where that 38,000 people live. And you see right there in the center with the darkest concentration, that's right in the center of town. That's where we go on a regular basis for our kids to go to school. That's where we go shopping. That's where we go and help with the food bank and try to be involved in our community. But what we desire to do is to encourage people involved with us is not just to be involved in a worship event once a week, but truly to think, okay, how, let the gospel that has impacted me, has given me hope for eternal life, motivate me to live intentionally in all of the different areas of my life. And so, well, I guess I'll just stop talking about that. No, can you remember that last slide? All right, yeah, you can. Good, thank you. We encourage people to think, okay, where do I live? What's my street? What's my neighborhood? The streets around my house. How can I be intentional in building relationships with the people around me, getting to know them, getting to understand where they're at in life, what their needs are, serving them, being a part of this neighborhood that I live in? God's put us there. God has strategically placed us in that one house, that one apartment, that one living situation so that we can be a light for Him there. He also has given us work or study responsibilities. How can we be intentional there? He's given us opportunities to be involved in our community, to serve, and to be intentional about making a difference. Because I just want to find somebody to share the gospel with? I could. But more, I believe, because God's made us to be people that just serve. Because that's who we are. We serve other people. God has served us. We serve others for the good of our community. And, of course, on the way, we build relationships. We have opportunities. And so we're thankful for what God is doing to give us service opportunities. And then relaxation. We all pursue that. We have hobbies. We do things that are just for fun. But you know what? We can do things for fun with other people and have time together to build relationships and to come alongside and serve and minister to people. So this summer, we've had an opportunity, as Pastor Jack said, to be here in the States, and we've had an opportunity to be here for almost 5 weeks now, and came into Chicago, up to the central Wisconsin. You gave us a van, we packed it up, loaded up, and then we went east and saw Sarah's parents and my parents, and we were able to see some of our siblings, and we were able to see some other dear friends and have some moments to share what God is doing in Belgium. And then after that, we came back through the UP and had an opportunity to be up there. Probably the most distinctive part of that whole experience was we were in Sault Ste. Marie, which is on the far eastern side of the UP. We were there, we ate breakfast, we hopped in the car, drove an hour and a half to Curtis, and we spent a few hours with some friends of ours, ate lunch with them, hopped in the car, drove 3.5 hours to Lens, and had dinner with another family that we wanted to see. And after we got done with dinner, we hopped in the car and we drove north to Calumet, and we had an ice cream social with another group of supporters. And so that was probably our most intense day, but it was kind of reflective of our schedule this summer. 5 weeks, you got to cram as much in. So I don't know about you, but I don't need all that food that everybody wanted to give us. But I did need that time together to be able to just say, hey, listen, thank you. Hey, this is what God is doing. Hey, pray for us. Let's pray for you. And to spend those moments together. So thank you for making that possible. If you were to watch one of the videos that I've made with some pictures of events from this past year, you would hear the lyrics of a song by Big Daddy Weave called This Is My Story. And that story is, he sings this: if I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. It's a beautiful song. Later on, listen to it. I challenge you. And I think you'll love it. But I put those pictures to those words because truly, I hope you communicate. I hope you understand. I'm telling you, it's not because of me that these things have happened. It's not because of me that anything has been accomplished. It's not because of me that we have gone through periods of blessing. It's because of God's grace. And we want to communicate that clearly, that we believe that with all of our heart. And so when we think about our life, we think about our ministry, realize this is a story that God is writing. This is a story that you have chosen to be a part of. And we are grateful for your participation with us. And not only are you a part of our story, but you're a part of the story of many people in Belgium. Many people in Belgium who I believe with all my heart would probably never have had contact with somebody who loved God and desired to live for Him and for His glory had it not been for you sending us there. And it's exciting to think we can be there being faithful to the task that we have, being faithful to the individual responsibility that we have as believers in the context where God has placed us in Belgium. And so we want to say thank you for being a part of our story. Thank you for being a part of God's work in Belgium. I just realized, what time is it? It's 38 on that clock.
7 o'clock.
And so, let's stop and pray. God, we thank you for the moment that we have had here this morning so far to rehearse some of what you have done. Writing the story of mankind, we focus on a little bit here in Wisconsin Rapids, we focus on a little bit in Belgium and Sint-Truiden, but God, by your grace, we believe that there is a story that will be written in the future, And we are excited to be a part of that. And we realize that, God, as we grow and as we mature, and whether it's here or in Belgium or any other place in the world, you are asking us to continue to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are thankful that through his word, we can know what you expect of us. And we can know that we can't do it alone, but you are faithful to work in and through us. And so we pray, God, for your work here in Wisconsin Rapids through Calvary Baptist Church and other churches here in this community to effectively proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pray for Belgium and the people of Belgium as where we work and we serve for your glory and for the establishment of your kingdom and your righteousness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, if we think about the Word of God and we think about what God would have for us to hear this morning, this is where we live. Brussels is the capital of Belgium. We live to the east, and that's the context where God has placed us. This is the town where those 38,000 people live. And you see all the agricultural areas around where a lot of fruit is grown. But we're focused on the lives of people right there in the center of town, whether it's serving at the food bank or serving at the homeless shelter or coming to the school and having an impact on the lives of people. That's where God has placed us. And so we are thankful that it's in that context that we can go and we can serve as people of faith who want to impact other people around them. And so we desire to see a thriving movement of integrated communities of disciples of Jesus Christ in Sint-Truiden. That's our hope. And we believe that that's not just going to happen in Sint-Truiden, but it's going to happen in other communities in Belgium. And yes, Belgium is a small little country. It fits nicely into the southern part of Wisconsin. Maybe that blows your mind that it's so small, but God has placed us there. And we are thankful that he has placed us there to accomplish this. And this morning, as we look at God's word, I would ask you to think of two different aspects of this mission statement that we have. Integrated communities of disciples of Jesus Christ. And I use the word community that is reflective of a body of believers. You call it church. We could call it that. Villanova chose to say, okay, let's focus on this community aspect, this fellowship of believers, this fellowship of disciples of Jesus Christ. And we'd love to challenge you to think a little bit about that here as we move forward. But one of the things that really motivates us as believers is the Great Commission. And back in 2004, when we were here on our internship and we had a missions conference and people were talking about that, the same thing happened to us as probably happens to other people. You hear this and you think, oh yes, the going. We love to go. We want to go. We believe that we need to go. And we need to go often far because, well, near isn't so exciting. Near is mundane. Near is, yeah, the same people. Let's go someplace different where there's great need and we can have huge impact for the glory of God and for the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. And we want to go. And so, yeah, we listened and God said go and we went. And now that faraway place called Belgium, where God placed us, has become near to us. Become not only near to us, but also dear to us, near and dear to our hearts. And so we went, and means you're not here. You're there. We're there. You're here. And there's a great distance between us. And that distance is filled with water. And when planes don't fly, people don't travel. And when borders are closed, people don't go across them. And so for the past 2 years, we felt that. We went. as Matthew commanded us. But you know what? You don't have to go far. You can go near. That's also a part of going. But regardless of that, think with me, this text. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And these are days when we think maybe the end of the age isn't so far off. I don't know. These are difficult times in which we live. But yet, regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves, we believe that this is our responsibility, right? This is why we're here. This is why God has placed us here. And whether we go far or whether we stay near, it's beautiful to know that we can have an impact on the lives of people around us. We can have an impact by making disciples of all nations. We can baptize them, and we can teach them to obey everything that has been commanded by Jesus Christ. And that is what motivates us. And so over the past years, since that mission conference that we were sent out by Calvary, began that support raising process, began that adjustment process of living in Belgium as people, realize we need to grow. We need to grow ourselves. We hadn't arrived. We didn't know, understand that culture. Didn't understand that language. We didn't understand those people. And we had to learn. And one of the best ways that we discovered is to learn about those people and that place was to go into the cultural context where people lived and address their needs and to help them. And so I think it's really easy to say, "Hey, come to me and hear me." But that's the safest way for us. The most difficult way is to just go and get involved in the lives of people. And so attractional, come to me, incarnational, I go to you, that has become our burden at this point in time. The best way to make disciples is to go to them and involve ourselves. Don't be of the world, but be in the world, like Jesus said. And then the second question is this idea of disciples. What's a disciple? Christians, what's a Christian? You know, back in Acts, when the followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the way, were first called Christians, they were called Christians by the pagan culture. They were called Christians by the people who had not yet come to faith, but were recognizing, hey, here's people that follow this Jesus of Nazareth, this man who was claimed to be the Son of God, this man who was crucified, buried, and then he rose from the dead and gave instructions to his followers on how they ought to live. And man, wait a minute. This Jesus that they're proclaiming, the instructions for how to live that he gave are being lived out by these followers of the way. Well, the only logical conclusion is, say, they're little Jesuses. And you and I know that being little Jesuses doesn't happen like that. It's a process, right? A process of sanctification, a process of growing, a process of becoming. That love for it to be different, but it's not. It's a long and a hard process. Our hearts have been changed, but we need to be sanctified in how we live. And so instead of calling ourselves what we want to be, let's just call us what I think. We should just call ourselves what we truly are. And that is a disciple of Jesus, a follower, one who strives to imitate his master, one who strives to live the way the master has modeled for him and instructed for him or her to live. And so our desire in Belgium is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior, the one who gives us hope for eternal life, but not just a Savior, but also a Lord, someone who has authority over us to say, live this way or that way. So this morning, Let me encourage you with a couple of texts, and then we'll be on our way. Going out to be incarnational, going out to be with our neighbors, our colleagues, our fellow students, people that we are spending time with, serving alongside of in our community, relaxing with, pursuing our hobbies. As we think about this text here this morning, I would encourage you to realize that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was giving a commentary about the world around him. He said, you know, people are worried about their safety. They're worried about what they're going to have to eat or to drink or the clothes that they're going to wear. People are consumed with themselves. We're great little narcissists, aren't we, for the most part, until God changes our hearts. But we're pursuing those things. But Jesus is saying to his disciples, the world pursues those things. The world focuses on that. We see that in Belgium, as a matter of fact. That is so common. They're no different than the people around you. Here, we're humans, and we seek to find the things that will make us happy, the things that will fulfill our needs and our wants. But Jesus was saying to his disciples, others pursue these things, and I know that you have those needs. So what I want you to do, I want you to be different. I want you to pursue, above all other things, my kingdom and my righteousness. And if you do that, Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm committing to care for your needs, all of those other things that I know you need. So what are you going to do? Pursue first my kingdom and pursue first my righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. I say this because in this idea of being a disciple, I think one essential aspect of being a disciple is to be someone who is not just someone who knows, but who obeys and who does. Someone, not just someone who participates in an event, a regularly scheduled program or event, but someone whose life is truly changed, who knows what they need to do and they do it. Now, one thing here on the screen, I have churchers versus disciples. And I'll say this to give you a little bit of an insight into the Belgian culture, into Dutch language. You know, I have a son and he plays soccer. In Belgium and in Europe, we call it football, but we won't get into that. He plays a sport. But in Dutch, in that linguistic tradition, my son footballs. My son soccers. You know, I have friends who tennis. I have friends who do a variety of other sports. And they don't play a sport. They just do that sport. So they handball. They tennis. They football. They swim. And so I was thinking about that and realizing, you know, oftentimes we go to church. And so I just think, well, let's simplify that and make it into a little bit of a Dutch way of looking at it. We church, you know, we participate in the activities of this church family. But is that all it needs to be? I think it needs to be more. And so as we look at our own lives, as we grow and we develop and we mature and we evaluate and we move forward, I think instead of church, let's just follow Jesus. Instead of just church and be involved in church activities, let's call it what it really is, and that's disciple. I disciple. I follow. I do what Jesus has called me to do. Because he is not just my Savior, but he is my Lord. And I'm thankful for the role that he plays. But you know what? As we've evaluated our own lives, we realize the chance is really good that we can fall into this pattern of behavior, this pattern of speaking, this pattern of articulating what we value and what we believe by just words, and have a heart that is not there yet. And Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 15, as they were talking about the Pharisees and those very religious people who were really good at churching, I would say, in their context, or synagoguing or templing, or, you know, they were going to a place and doing a certain thing. But he said, hey, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so as we think about ministry in Belgium, think about you and your lives here, my hope is that you would not just be people that would honor God with your words, but that you would honor God with your life. You would live out what you say you believe, and so that you could be considered someone who is near to God with a heart that desires to be close to Him, and out of a heart that loves Him, a heart that has been changed, transformed, you would be engaged in living what you speak, so that you can be worshiping God, not in vain, but out of intentionality. And so this morning, I love to use easy translations, because I think it kind of paraphrases, it kind of expresses in different words, it kind of catches our attention and says, hey, this is the essential aspect of this passage. And one of those is an easy English translation that I found, and it says, these people say good things about me, but they do not really want to obey me. And that's a great frustration, I think, for all of us. We fall into that pattern of we say, we affirm, we claim things, but when rubber meets the road, how are we at doing those things? And my hope today would be that we can encourage one another. We're on this journey in Belgium. We want to be obedient to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, as our Master, as the one who has called us to go, the one who has called us to be His disciples, the one who says, let me be Lord of your life. Obviously, close with this text, because maybe up until now you've thought, this is really heavy stuff. Talking about going to another country, becoming integrated, engaged in another culture, learning another language, living intentionally, incarnationally with people, serving them instead of serving myself, making Jesus Lord of my life as opposed to just being content with Him being my Savior. But in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gives us encouraging words. Jesus gives us encouraging words because He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, what? Rest. We're looking for rest, aren't we? We're looking for hope in these days. He said, come to me. But what's really crazy is we have to do something to get that. He said, take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my load is not hard to carry. That's sort of like contradictory, isn't it, in our minds? How can that be? If you think He's saying, take my yoke. A yoke is a heavy thing. A yoke is an implement for working, right? You see animals with that yoke upon them, and they were attached to a plow, they're attached to a wagon, they're attached to some other implement to do hard work. But Jesus said, learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart. That's who I want to become. Someone who is just like Jesus, gentle, humble in heart. And He says, I will give you rest for your souls. Another translation of that, which I think could encourage your hearts if you read it, it says, Jesus says, come to me. If you do that, you will find a place to rest. Who? Well, just like I said in the very first part, come to me, all of you who are tired You are like people who have worked for a long time. You are like people who have carried heavy things, the burdens that we carry, the sins that we hide, the habits that we try to disclose or not disclose from others. Those things are heavy, burdensome, wearying. They are hard to carry, and they tire us out. But Jesus said, come to me. And if you do that, you will find a place of rest. Do what I teach you to do. Listen to my message and learn from me what is true. I am very kind, and I do not make myself important. I will help you. And for independent people who want to do it themselves, we have a lot of those around us. Wherever we go, it's not easy to ask for help. But Jesus is saying here, I will help you. Then you will have peace in your mind. I will not tell you to do things that are too difficult. I will not tell you to carry anything that is too heavy for you with his help. And so I pray that today you can leave this place with an understanding that we don't have to accomplish these things alone. We have the grace of God that is sufficient. And my hope is that if you know our story, you know, okay, we're not perfect people. We've made our share of mistakes, and we have our issues. We have to struggle with the same prideful things that you struggle with. But by God's grace, he has been at work in our hearts. And he is allowing us to accomplish something in the city of Sintroden, where we live, where we work and study, where we serve, and where we relax. And it's in those intentional relationships that God has placed us in, where we're striving to dig a foundation to see something established in the future that is going to bring glory to God. And that's something that we hope to see established in the future is a thriving community of disciples of Jesus Christ who are integrated into their community. And we hope to do that. And like I said, if you need some prompting to pray for us, when the clock hits 38, pray. When the clock hits 38 in Belgium here in a couple of days, I'll think of you and pray for what God is doing here in this place as you are faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, integrated in your community, striving to make a difference for the glory of God. And we would be grateful for your participation in our story, and we're excited to hear what God is doing in your story and trust that it will be something done because of his grace and in his strength, not in your own strength, but in his strength and for his glory. Thank you.
I appreciate your attention to those texts. For some who may have caught this in the ESV, that Great Commission passage says this: go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. The translation that Jonathan had on the screen said to obey. And simply put, there is a difference in us carrying that out, isn't there? That observing, to those of us in our culture, we can observe a lot of things. We can observe the condition of a parking lot, wondering when is it going to get. We can observe a sporting event or whatever, but that translation, obey, comes back to the intent of what those words meant originally, that you're supposed to carry out actively what's there. That's why our very mission over here says that we're going to know Christ, but make him known. That's an activity. I appreciate so much the fact that as he was talking, Jonathan was talking about making an impact in his culture, that translates one-to-one. We're put on our streets for the very same purpose, for the very same mission. for the very same opportunities. Let's stand to our feet and ask Christ to help us carry that out this week. Heavenly Father, we are delighted to have spent this time together with one another. We pray you dismiss us with your blessing, but even more than that, with a desire to touch those around us within the church family, sure, but may we also see the opportunities that await us on our streets and in our places of employment. We ask, too, for your blessing on the Webbers as they have just a couple of days left with us here in the States, and then they're returning to their home. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.